broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
We don't have billboards anymore of people smoking cigarettes or drinking.
We have to renew people's faith in the promise of this country.
The budget the president's unveiling next week is going to propose a six-year.
The school does not teach Christianity.
It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and this is Patriot Radio for patriots, by patriots, and welcome. Don't forget the Patriot line is 877-876-7445. That's our Patriot hotline, 877-876-7445. Truth is our bitch here as we roll out Patriot Radio for patriots, by patriots, and welcome to the program. A furor in Texas over a proposed mandatory Arabic program in public schools. An Arabic program in public schools, mandatory. Now, I know about Spanish, and I know about Latin, and I know about French, and I know about a lot of different languages that you could optionally take in high school or optionally take at some point in your educational, you know, in the educational process. I never heard of any language being mandatory, and I damn sure ain't never heard of mandatory Arabic. So this is a further evolution, I think, of a mindset in this country that says, well, what went before is fine, but we've got a whole new set of priorities. We have a game. We have a dance that we're doing now. And this has a lot to do with encompassing a culture. Forget about whether or not that culture is a part of this one or is becoming a part of this one. And I'm, absolutely convinced we've got obviously very, very well ensconced and completely assimilated Arab Americans and Muslim Americans. That's not about that. We're talking about some other mindset, some other understanding of what we're supposed to do now. Mandatory Arabic. We've had Arab Americans and Muslim Americans for decades, but today, mandatory Arabic, because we're becoming more sensitive. And not religiously sensitive, culturally sensitive, to the point where you better learn Arabic. Because that's the way of the world. A billboard with a nude backside gets parents upset in Atlantic City, and Keith Olbermann becomes even more irrelevant with a new job at Current TV. Bob Green and Dean Wheeler are going to join us tonight. We have Bob Green coming up first, and we're going to be talking a little bit about billboards. One in particular that Mr. Green's company, Fraser Foods, has put up on the 5 Freeway here in Los Angeles. Our affiliate spotlight tonight on KBSZ 1260 AM in Phoenix and in Tallahassee, Alabama. Tallahassee, Alabama, WTLS 1300 AM. PhilHendryShow.com is the Phil Hendry Show website. Get over there and pick up what did I call it? Tallahassee? I said Tallahassee, Alabama. Excuse me. The folks in Tallahassee, Alabama. Our shot glasses, our best of CDs, our daily podcasts, our blog. It's all over there at PhilHendryShow.com, including right now. You can take a look at a live streaming video of the show and listen to live streaming audio. Our number, as I mentioned, is 877-876-PHIL. That is the Patriot hotline tonight and every night. You check in, and we're checking in right now with Bob Green from Fraser Foods. Now, I want to give you, Bob, just a quick take on this after I give a rundown, okay? But welcome to the show. I'm very happy that you've joined us.
Well, I'm happy that I'm on the program with you, Bill. I hope I get an opportunity to adequately express why we've done this billboard.
No, you'll get an opportunity, but I want to give people. And if I say anything wrong here, let me know.
Oh, I fully intend to, but we also want to make sure that this is not characterized as something that is salacious or that is intentionally obscene.
No, we're not going to do that, but here it is. You got a billboard on the 5 Freeway, and I think, what's the off-ramp?
It's the Harbor Boulevard off-ramp.
The Harbor Boulevard off-ramp, which is near where people get off for Disneyland and for some of these other amusements.
We chose it because it is well-traveled by families. That is correct, yes.
All right. So the billboard shows a woman's thighs and a string hanging down. And it's a billboard for Celeste Tampons and for Fraser Foods and your pharmacy or your health supply section. Is that right?
Yeah, that is exactly right. And we don't make any apologies for it. I think that the way you've described it there, with that kind of alarm in your voice, I think is unfair.
No. It's not alarming my voice, Bob. What I'm saying is that I just want to make sure that that is that not in point of fact what that billboard is. It's a two thighs, right?
Yeah, but we're not showing a woman's we're not showing any part of a woman's body that is her bare rear end. We're not doing that.
No, I didn't say that you did. You know,
we're not showing anything that is obscene. These are two a woman's thighs, as you said, and a string. And this was a creative effort, not only on my part, but it was a creative effort by the people at Celeste Tampon and at High Energy Advertising to do an outdoor campaign that was going to get people's attention. You've got a lot of people that are using that off-ramp. Many of them are families. You're absolutely right. And we see this as an opportunity for a lot of people, mothers or fathers, to get involved in a conversation with a daughter about, well, what is that, and what does that mean, and what why do I need that? And
so you see this ad, this billboard that you've got up there, as a way of bringing families together? Is that it?
I didn't say that, Phil. I said,
well, I mean, you're saying that you've got a billboard up there that shows a woman's thighs and a string hanging down, and this is a way of getting a mother and a daughter to talk.
I said a way of getting a mother and a daughter to talk. I said a way of getting a father and a daughter to talk, because we've got a lot of single fathers out there.
And what are they going to talk about? They're going to talk about, you know, one of these days you're going to need a tampon?
No, not at all. They're going to be talking about the obvious question that's going to be asked by the daughter, which is, what is that? And the mother is going to have an opportunity to get into a topic that she otherwise might have a very difficult time getting into. And that was our intent, and that was the intent of Bill Gilling over at High Energy. That was the intent of Sandra Osgood, who's with Celeste Tampons. These are two very socially active people, and they wanted to do something that was going to not just sell the product, but make a difference in the lives that of the people seeing this billboard. So when you see a billboard that is an obvious eye-catcher...
All right, so I'm going to hold on for a minute, if you don't mind, Bob.
Well, if you see a billboard that's an obvious eye-catcher, it's going to start a conversation.
All right, to start a conversation, I want to ask you a question. I'm a father, and I'm driving down the road with my daughter. And I see this billboard, and my daughter says, Daddy, what is that? Now I'm supposed to have this conversation that you told me to have, that you and the people at Celeste Tampons told me to have.
No, we're not telling you got to do anything, all right?
Well, you just got done telling me, though, that the billboard is designed to get conversation going. Isn't the billboard designed to sell the product?
Absolutely. It's there to sell the Celeste Tampon product, and it will, because the name of the product is very prominently displayed. And so while the conversation is being had between this father and this daughter that you're talking about, yourself and a daughter, or a mother and a daughter, they'll see the tampon product name. And at that time, the mother will say, or the daughter will say, let's go to the store and let's buy this product and familiarize ourselves with it. There is the name of our store, Fraser Foods. And so this is the symbiosis that we're hoping to achieve, and we know we will achieve.
And all right, this symbiosis that you want to achieve, I'm driving down the road with my daughter, and I see this, and now my daughter says to me, what is that? And what am I supposed to say?
Mr. Henry, I don't know if all men are as shy as you are or as modest as you are.
It doesn't have anything to do with being shy or modest. It has to do with me wanting to have this conversation when I want to have this conversation. Why can't we keep these advertisements G-rated? Okay, isn't this a provocative billboard that underage kids are going to see?
There is absolutely nothing in the billboard showing a woman's thighs and a string that is obscene. It shows a woman's thighs and a string, and it encourages parents that drive by that billboard to do something that they haven't probably done, and that is engage their daughters in a conversation about that product. We have young women, Mr. Henry, that are...
And why is that your responsibility?
Hold on for a minute, Mr. Henry. We have children.
No, but why is that your responsibility to push into the family discussion, a discussion of tampons?
We have, in our society, young women that are getting pregnant at earlier and earlier ages, younger and younger ages, young women that are becoming sexually active younger and younger. We obviously do not have, in many instances, we don't have parents that are qualified or that are ready to have the kinds of conversations that they should have with a young lady. And I said to Bill Gilling, and I said also to Sandra Osgood, I said, we've got to take an active part, and if we've got to take literally the topic and stick it right between the eyes of the parents, that's what we got to do.
And you had this conversation with an advertising executive. You had this conversation with the advertising person with a company. And I'm wondering, where did you ever get the chutzpah? You know,
Mr. Henry, I'm very familiar with talk radio and what it is that you people do.
No, well, hold on for a minute. I mean, I'm not. All I'm doing here is asking a question that I don't think is an untoward question. You got this billboard, and you're saying we better have this conversation. You, Bob Green, you're making that decision.
I am making that decision, Sandra Osgood from Celeste Tampons, Bill Gilling from High Energy Advertising, based upon the people that we know and the. And the life that we see around us, and these kids getting pregnant, and yes, that is...
All right, so you've made the decision that you're going to have a billboard with two thighs and a string hanging down, and that will force a woman and that'll force a father into having this conversation with their daughter. And I'm telling you that it is, in my opinion, it's you... And it's people such as you. When you said you people, talking about talk show hosts, Mr. Green, what about you people who decide, well, this is a good conversation for parents to have?
Because someone needs to take a responsible hand. When you talk about talk radio or some of the people that you talk to in your audience, and there is no real limit, there is no containment, there's no, I don't think that there is any disciplined format for having these discussions, then yes, somebody has to take this, I would say, this step. And we have, other companies have done this in the past. I don't see it as revolutionary.
You don't think that a billboard with two women's thighs and a string hanging down is provocative?
I think you're being overly sensitive. People are happy with this kind of advertising because it finally gives them an excuse and a good entree into having this conversation. Most people, Mr. Henry, especially if you talk about a father, he has no idea how to get into a conversation about tampon use with his daughter.
And okay, so when he drives by the billboard, you know...
No, when he drives by the billboard, that gives him the opportunity. Because his daughter is going to say, Dad, what is that?
And what does the dad say?
The father would respond, if it was me, Mr. Henry, I'd say that is a string from a tampon that's inserted into a woman's... You know, and I would use the appropriate word.
And you're going to be talking this way to a girl that's how old? A girl that's 12? A girl that's 11?
I'm going to be talking that way to a young lady. Did she not ask me what that string is?
Yes, she asked you, and you're going to tell me you're sitting there talking to an 11 or 12-year-old girl, and you're saying that's a string from a tampon. That's inserted into appropriate word here. And that's how you get into the conversation with your daughter on what a tampon is. All right, Bob, why don't you hang on the line here, okay?
Well, I'm going to hang on the line, and I want to have a conversation that is a civilized conversation about what parents need to be reminded of. And we're hopeful they'll buy it at our store, and we're hopeful they use less tampons, but that's not the important part. The important part is that they've got to sit down and have this conversation with their kids.
All right, hold on for a minute here. So you got to sit down, folks, and have this conversation with your kids as fast as you can. Not when you want to have the conversation, but when Bob Green from Fraser Foods said that you should have the conversation. When you see his billboard showing two women's thighs, and a string hanging down. What's that, Dad? That's a tampon. Time for you to have the conversation. 877-876-7445. Your calls for our guest, Bob Green, up next. Doesn't this billboard go too far? I can't be the only person who thinks this goes overboard. A string hanging down between a woman's thighs. Next hour, it's Dean Whaley here on Radio for Patriots, by Patriots, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445.
Phil Hendry.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Call the Patriot hotline right now at 877-876-PHIL. Robert Green from Fraser Foods with a billboard on the Harbor Boulevard exit at the Santa Ana Freeway down there in Buena Park. And basically, or in Anaheim, rather, and it basically it's a billboard showing a woman's thighs with a string hanging down. It's very graphic.
I don't think it is. This is where I disagree. What do you mean it's graphic?
It's two thighs and a string. There's, if you're an adult human being, you know what that is. All right.
All right. If you're an adult human being, you know what that is. If you're a child, do you?
No, but you have said you anticipate that the child would ask the question. What is that?
That is correct.
Okay, and so Bob Green has decided for me, a father, millions of fathers, millions of mothers.
If this is something, Mr. Hendry, that is uncomfortable for a man, and you're basically saying, I don't mind a woman doing this.
I mind parents being told by you, the tampon company, and the advertising agency, time now to talk to your daughter about what a tampon is. Now, you just gave me advice, and I have to come out and tell you, I think it's the most grotesque.
What was?
What a father is supposed to say to a daughter, Daddy, what is that? Well, that's a string from a tampon. That goes up inside, and then I use the word?
I'm not saying you use a street or gutter word.
I'm saying you're telling me to use the actual clinical word.
Yes, you can use the V word if that's the one you're talking about.
All right, so here I am, a father with my 11-year-old. That goes up in the, just like that.
Well, Mr. Henry, I don't know how shy a guy you are. I'm not shy. I don't have daughters, but if I did, I would say to them, that string is attached to a thing called a tampon. And if you want to be a little bit more familiar and use some humor, you can say that goes right up into your blankety-blank. But the point here, I think, is that...
The point here is that you don't have daughters, and you don't know what you're talking about.
Well, okay, I will reserve judgment there.
No, I just don't believe that you do. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Steve in San Francisco. Steve, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Robert Green. Go ahead.
Well, it just took the words right out of my mouth. I have two daughters, and this knucklehead doesn't have any. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's trying to sell a product. It's all about money, him selling a product. This is not the way to introduce kids.
Need to connect.
This is not the way to introduce children. This is not the way to introduce children to this topic. This is outrageous that this guy would think about putting money in his pocket and think that he's doing sex education.
Am I not allowed to sell tampons? Am I not allowed to sell tampons? That's what you're saying. So we don't.
This is not about selling tampons. About selling tampons.
It's about you with a string hanging down between two thighs. You know any kid is going to ask what that is.
Absolutely. That's what we intended. And why?
Do you have any kids? Do you have any kids? Do you have a son?
I want to have kids.
You don't have kids. You don't know what you're talking about.
I'm hoping someday to have children. Yes, I do.
You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know how to raise a child.
Can I tell you something, Sarah? You know, the question is, do I have any kids? I was a kid once, all right? I was a kid.
Were you a girl? You weren't a girl, were you?
Did you use a tampon?
Excuse me. I had sisters who did, and I saw, like any young man, I would peek through the door and see what they're doing.
And like any young man, you'd peek through the door.
I beg your pardon? Sir, what shame do I need to have in order to bring families together over a topic, sex education in our schools, sex education at home? These kids are getting pregnant at younger and younger ages.
It's your basic ignorance. If you don't have children, you've never had to raise children, educate children, you're starting with a point of basic ignorance. And so what this is about, from my perspective, is you're trying to sell a product and make money. You don't have a clue about what you're doing.
I think that's very easy to say.
You can do the damage that you're doing by having this kind of billboard up in California.
I challenge you, and I challenge Mr. Hendry to tell me what damage I am doing.
You're simply intruding into a very private avenue of family communication. You said yourself, we're forcing the dialogue. We're forcing the dialogue.
And what is wrong with forcing healthy dialogue? The gentleman asked a question. He was right. I don't have children. And when I grew up, I had to peek through a bathroom door to see what my sisters were doing with those tampons.
I would admit that on national radio, pal. I tell you, maybe that starts with a problem.
Excuse me. What does that mean?
You're peeking through the crack of a bathroom door looking at what your sisters are doing. Hang on the line, Mr. Green. Thanks so very much, Steve, for your call. Our number, the Patriot Hotline, is 877-876-PHIL. Bob Green with a billboard that shows a string going down between a woman's thighs, and he thinks that's a great billboard advertising tampons and getting families to have that conversation. Phil Hendry.
Phil Hendry. Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And you're listening to radio for patriots, by patriots, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. It's not enough to be an American anymore. You have to be a patriotic American. You have to be, in the words of many of our great young men and women who are in military service, you have to be willing to write a check up to and including the amount of your own life for this country, and that's what our show is all about. We have Robert Green on the line with us here from Fraser Foods in Buena Park, California. The billboard says Celeste tampons, Fraser Foods, two thighs and a string hanging down, and it has people offended and insulted, and you feel that you're doing a public service.
Is that a question, sir? Because
that is a question. You feel you're doing a public service.
Absolutely, we're doing a public service.
By forcing families to have this dialogue.
I don't know that we're forcing anybody. What we're doing is we're selling a very fine product, and we are advertising our store. And we're also, yes, we're also saying it's about time you and your daughter got together and had a conversation, because your daughter statistically is going to get pregnant. Statistically, it'll become a burden on the people of the state of California or other states. And statistically, we've got another kid that we got to figure out what we're supposed to do with it. And so, if you don't mind, would you please explaining to your kid what that string is attached to?
Oh, so now it's about your kid. And again, it's you telling these parents, and you telling them what to do, and you telling them how to do it, and not giving anybody the opportunity. And again, Mr. Green, you know, you talk about what you know as a parent. You're not a parent.
Are you a parent?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Do you have a daughter?
Yes, I do.
All right. And so I did not have daughters, but I was a young man. I grew up in a house full of girls, and I had no idea what those were, and no one explained it to me. And you and that other man seemed to take exception to the fact that I had to hide in a bathroom or hide in a closet and watch my sisters use tampons so I'd know what they were about.
And you were hiding in a closet, sir, for reasons, in my opinion, that have nothing to do with learning anything. And I think you, like a lot of liberals, you know, you use some very sketchy psychology to cover up what I think is a profound problem. You use some real sketchy social intention to cover up a real problem.
What do you mean sketchy social intention?
Some idea about having families talking to each other when, in point of fact, you're hiding in a closet when you were a kid.
I was hiding in a closet to learn something, Mr. Hendry. I should only hope young people would do that.
You're hiding in a closet to learn something, all right. And I don't quite know what it is.
And I resent, and you're walking right up to the edge of what I think is actionable, I resent your inference.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL on the Patriot Hotline tonight. Let's go over to Rusty in Anchorage, Alaska. Rusty, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, you bet. Well, I'm a parent, and I've got two daughters, eight kids total. And
you got eight kids. You need a lot of advice. I'm just kidding. I'm sure you know what you're doing, sir.
Yeah, I do. But I know for one thing, right, is that none of my boys hide in the closet and watch their sisters. They're more intelligent. They pick up a box and look at the instructions on the back and read about it.
Did you think about that, Mr. Green?
I got to tell you, I really resent what the two of you men are inferring. What is the inference here? That there's something that's sick about me?
I guess what my point is you are going by trying to say that we need to, as parents, deliver this message. You've gone way over the heads of the parents in America. This is that message is a time and a place. It's a sacred, right. It's a sacred message between you and your daughter, not to be posted on a billboard in California. That's the reason we're in Alaska. We don't have billboards because we don't want trash like that advertised to our kids.
Let me ask you an honest question. You don't have billboards in Alaska. How educated do you think the people of Alaska are on what a tampon is?
Oh, you got to be kidding, man. Are you kidding? Like, they don't know what a tampon is?
No, but I'm saying on how to communicate what a tampon is to their kid, to their daughter.
It's easy. You go grab the box out from under the sink in the bathroom, and you bring it out, and you say, this is what a tampon is. Here's the instructions on how to use it. Then you explain to them in a very lovingly, friendly, parent way that what it's for.
Well, that
it definitely isn't.
What that is the beginning steps toward not knowing anything about that part of the body. And I guess you underestimate
the power of parents in this country today, because I don't know anybody else.
I don't know if you're looking at the same statistics I'm looking at. Looking at the same statistics I'm looking at, you're seeing these kids are getting pregnant all over the place, unwed mothers all over the place, and I try to figure out something for myself as a kid who got no attention from my father or mother. I hide in a closet and I watch my sisters use tampons, and you guys want to turn me into a pervert. And I can tell you that...
Are you telling me that when you were a kid you went into that closet because you needed an education? Yeah, you know, you needed a parent, all right. You needed a parent to smack you, okay, and get you out of there.
To smack me.
That's exactly right. And get you the hell out of that closet and give your daughter some privacy. Rusty, thanks so much for calling us tonight. It's 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445 on the Patriot Hotline tonight. Dave in Greensboro, North Carolina. Dave, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
All right. Hi, Phil. How you doing?
Yes, very good, sir. Thank you.
I want to paint a picture here. You know, I got twin boys that are 13 years old, and I got an 11-year-old daughter. Now, if I'm going down the interstate at 70 miles an hour, I can tell you how my twin boys are going to react to this conversation. I mean, you're totally nuts. I mean, you know,
I don't understand. 70 miles an hour, and your boys are going to do, what does the speed of the car have to do with your boys?
Let me tell you something. You have been in a closet for a reason, and I think you know what it is. But this isn't the kind of conversation
you're calling me a homosexual. Is the gentleman calling me a homosexual? If you're calling me a homosexual, that's actionable.
And it's not actionable. It's the man's opinion.
You've used that word and pervert yourself. I didn't use those two words. So, you know,
say homosexual.
Let me tell you something. You shouldn't be having these kind of conversations in the car with a carload of kids in mixed company.
Oh, you didn't explain to me, sir, when you're going down the road 70 miles an hour and your two sons see a string coming down from a woman's thighs, I don't understand how that relates. You can easily say to the boys, that's a string.
First of all, the two boys don't need to learn all this about their sister.
Exactly.
They have no idea of what's going on to begin with. I mean, you are way off base here. You don't have kids, I can guarantee it.
You didn't tell me there was a daughter in the car. You didn't tell me there was a sister. If I had two boys, I would say, and of course this is an opportunity for you to bond with your sons using humor.
Yeah, but you also didn't say, in the closet and stare at your...
Sir, well, I'm not going to be staring at my wife. I looked at my mother and my sisters when I was young.
I never needed to do that in my life.
Well, that doesn't necessarily, sir, and with all due respect, that doesn't necessarily mean anything. You didn't need it. I don't know your mental health.
I'm going to tell you right now that your parents should have taken you to a... The more stuff you tell me, Bob, the more I believe you. The more I believe...
You guys are laughing. I'm doing a public service for...
Yeah, you think you are. You're doing a service, all right.
Do you deny that we've got children that are getting pregnant? Do you deny that we have a teenage pregnancy problem? Do you find that funny? I don't.
I don't find it funny at all. Problem. You raise your daughters right, and you don't have that problem.
Here's the situation.
The country has the problem. The country. And it takes a village. And I guess you two guys don't appreciate
that. Well, let me tell you what. Your idea is totally wrong.
Right. And, Bob, what I was going to say, and I'm not going to laugh. I'm going to tell you straight up. If you were my son, I would have had you talking to a professional, hiding in the closet, looking at your mother and your daughters, or your sisters. I don't know. I mean, it might be a very, very healthy, maybe you're an oversexed, kid.
You know something? What does that mean, oversexed?
I mean, maybe you were just like raring to go, man. How old were you?
I was nine.
Nine?
He needed psychology. He needed a psychiatrist.
I love this. So we go to the ad hominem attacks about my mental health because neither one of you guys can argue the point. Neither one of you guys can argue.
We've been arguing the point, man. If you think that that's a normal thing to see two thighs and a string hanging down between them and say, well, this is an opportunity for me to talk to my daughter about tampons, I'm telling you, and my callers are telling you, that that is not the case. Thank you so much for your call, Dave. I appreciate it. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Robert Green with us from Fraser Foods, and Bob, we're talking about a billboard that you put up for your business, for a product that you carry, Celeste Tampons. It's a giant billboard there at Harbor on the 5. And you put it at Harbor even though your store's in Buena Park.
I put it at Harbor even though my store's in Buena Park. Now, are you going to make an issue out of that?
Yeah, I'm going to make an issue out of that because that's not Buena Park. That's going into Anaheim, right?
It's an exit that's used by a great many cars. And
because it exits to Disneyland, you know there's going to be families.
And I'm using good marketing sense, and that's a bad thing in the mind of Phil Hendry and his very educated listeners. You know, Mr. Hendry, I'm a liberal for a reason. I'm a liberal for a reason. I went to school. I went to college. Did you go to college, sir?
You know what you're doing now.
Did you go to college, Mr. Hendry?
I did not.
You did not?
I went to 2 years of JC.
2 years of JC, and here you are hosting a national show. I went to college, and I'm telling you, and forgive me, but you're undereducated listeners, that a tampon ad with a string between two thighs is not going to kill anybody. And I'm also going to tell you, I went to college, I got an education, and I look back on my life, and me hiding in a closet and staring at my older sister, it's not as bad as you think.
Oh, okay. It's not as bad as I think. Is it bad?
It's not bad.
Oh, all right. Well, I'll defer to you. You got the college education. Staring at your older sister now as she bent, and then that was the end of that.
You told me not to be graphic. If you want, I'll paint a picture for you. I'll send you the whole story.
No, I don't want.
All right. Because it sounds to me like you and your listeners want the juicy details. And that's something for me. That's what I save that for myself.
Okay. I love this.
No, well, you're sputtering. You're going there,
No, I love this. I love it when a liberal just walks right into the meat cleaver. You guys walking right into the airplane propeller. 877-876-PHIL. Chris in Raleigh, North Carolina. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Chris, go ahead, please.
Okay, Bob, I'm going to go ahead and say my first point. What happened with your childhood, that's utterly disgusting. I agree with Phil. Your parents should have done something with you. My second point is I have a daughter. She's almost 10 years old, and girls are starting to get.
We just lost the caller. Sorry. Might have been something in the atmosphere. It might have been, who knows. Let's go to another call here. Greg in Valdosta. Go ahead, Greg. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Robert Green. The gentleman we lost his call. Go ahead, Greg.
Yes, I mean, I think that's going a little bit overboard. I mean, as parents, we do to have talks with our children about sex. I have a daughter who's 11 and one that's 18.
Right.
Okay. Now, the one that's 11, of course, her cycle has not started. Okay.
Yes,
now,
sir.
The one that's 18... It did at that time. I kind of left it up to her mother to talk to her about that. But I have talked to her about sex, you know, and letting her know how I was as a young man and how boys will tell you anything, you know, to get down.
That's the truth. That's right. Yeah.
Mr. Hendry, it's okay. This guy calls it and it's okay, but when I say that, it's bad.
You're talking about hiding in a closet.
Let me ask this gentleman, have you... All right, well, maybe do you ever hide in the closet, sir? Or when you were a kid?
No, sir.
Okay.
No, I haven't.
You don't hide in the closet as an adult. You don't do that.
Not as an adult. Of course not.
I'd like the gentleman to answer.
I think he did. Go ahead, Greg.
No, I have not hid in the closet, sir. No.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I just think that's a little too much for me.
You know what, Greg? Use the word. It's weird, man. It's weird.
You're putting words into the listener's mouth.
No, the gentleman wants to be polite, but I'll say it for him. It's freaking weird. It's weird to be looking at a billboard with a string between the thighs, and let's get the conversation going between Gat. And here's a man, every gentleman you've heard on my show tonight wants to have that conversation, if he has that conversation with his daughter, when he so chooses. And like this man Greg said, he'll leave a lot of that to the wife. Greg, thanks so much for your call. And we'll take a break here and finish up our final segment with Robert Green from Fraser Foods, who has a billboard out on the Santa Ana Freeway in the Los Angeles metro area, folks. And what does it have on it? A string hanging down between two thighs. This is so the conversation can get going about what tampons are for. So he makes the decision, a grocery store owner. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. This is Radio by Patriots for Patriots. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, radio for Patriots, by Patriots. We got our Patriot line open at 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. We're going to be talking next hour about prisons. We're going to be talking next hour. Are we going to be talking prisons? I think so. And your taxes. And we're also going to get into a lot of different things having to do with the Chamber of Commerce speech that President Obama made, there's a whole kinds of problems that have to be addressed there. Welcome back to the program here. Robert Green on the line as we talk about the billboard that has to do with the string between two thighs. Unreal. Felicia in San Antonio, welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Felicia?
And Mr. Hendry, I'd like to say something. I don't like being characterized. You say that, and I'm just supposed to sit here and suck on it?
You can use another phrase than suck on it. Felicia, go ahead. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I'm a mother of six children. I have four boys and two girls. And, you know, if you raise your children right, any girl starting her period at 9 between 14, she's going to wear a pad. From maybe 15 on, then they'll start talking about tampons. If he wants to make a statement about pregnancy, maybe he should have laid a condom on the girl's thigh or something, but not a tampon.
I don't understand. I mean, I'm trying to do something that's hygienic. You have two sons. Didn't you say you have four sons, correct, ma'am?
I have four sons.
All right.
And none of my sons really need to know why my daughters use tampons. Well, they need to know what a tampon is. But even then, you know,
if they're gay, unless they're gay, have you not found your sons hiding in a closet, staring at you or one of your daughters? I'm sure it's a normal thing.
Oh no, 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 no!
Oh, come on!
He would be in big trouble.
See, I think when you
teach your children respect, and if you don't have that respect for your children. And you don't teach your children respect and respect other people, then peeking in on the girls is not showing your sister's respect.
I was trying to say that when you don't, you're inquisitive as a boy. Okay?
That's fine.
When I was
there's Penthouse, Playboy, and right even now,
right.
Damn internet.
What, Mr. Henry, what do you mean right?
That's what I did. I would go down and sneak peeks at the Playboy.
You told me once that you stole Playboys.
Yes, I did. I shoplifted a couple of Playboys when I was 13.
I have a 15-year-old son. I found him underneath his mattress. He's not peeking in on his sister.
What's the difference between
that?
That
was gross.
What is the difference between that and peeking at his sister?
There's a big difference, man.
It's his sister. That's like, I mean, you're not going to have sex with your sister. That's incest. Why would you peek and look at your sister?
Of course you're not going to. My sons, I've got two boys. I caught them one day hiding in the closet looking at their mother. And I found it to be the most normal thing. Of course, I punished them.
Looking at their mother, looking at your wife.
No,
You have increasingly turned me into the freak tonight, Mr. Henry. I notice that it's very good.
No, you just said that your sons, you caught them in a closet looking at your wife, looking at their mother.
Yes, that's a totally normal thing.
Here's a mother that we have on the line here, Felicia, and she doesn't think it's normal. Felicia, I appreciate very much your call this evening. And by the way, Felicia, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to give you a $50 gift certificate to Pro Flowers as a little Valentine's gift from the Phil Hendry Show.
That to me is just suck it up to your...
Will you hold on, please? I'm giving you a $50 gift certificate, Felicia, for being on our show tonight. I want to let everybody know to go to proflowers.com, a $50 gift certificate from Pro Flowers for you for Valentine's Day. We appreciate you calling us. Everybody go to proflowers.com, click on the microphone, and enter my name, Hendry. Thank you, Felicia, for your call tonight, too, okay? And hold on, because we want to get your name. Hold on, we want to get your name and address and everything to send you that gift certificate.
That to me is the most shameless. That is the most shameless kind of suck it up that I've ever seen in my life.
What do you mean shameless?
You were here telling me that I can't have a tampon hanging off a billboard, and you just gave that woman flowers. Did you pay her to call up and make fun of me? Did you pay her to?
No, sir. I didn't pay her to call up. I didn't even know who she was. And you just got done, by the way, admitting that your son's hid in a closet and looked at your wife.
It's a totally normal thing to do when your own mother has a very, has a large chest, okay?
And all right, thanks a lot, Bob. We'll be back. This is Radio by Patriots for Patriots, Phil, the Phil Hendry Show.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
The budget the president's unveiling next week is going to propose a...
After we impeach Clarence Thomas, what do we do with them? Let's keep it real.
Well, when I was a kid, you know, I would take, what, I don't know, think a gun or something?
The school does not teach Christianity.
My name is Roger Ebert. I love the Phil Hendry Show, and I think Keith Olbermann is a closet homosexual.
Gay is pale.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show. This is Patriot Radio by Patriots for Patriots. And welcome to our second hour here. We're keeping it real. Truth is our bitch. And our number, the Patriot line, is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And our news hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard is next hour as we continue to talk about what it is truly to be... Not just an American, but to be a patriot. And when we talk about being a patriot, we said it last hour, we'll say it again. You got to be willing to give it all for this country. And we have, I think, we have a big lesson to learn when it comes to that. I think we all treat this country, not all of us, but I think there's a significant number, obviously, on the left, who treat this country like it's one big Disneyland. And certainly anyone and everyone that wants to come here from wherever... This is your free enterprise zone, garbage dump? No, not anymore. We're going to talk more about that in the days and the weeks to come. California prison guards, their union is now called the main obstacle to keeping, get a load of this, this will either curl your hair or wilt your permanent, one of the two. California prison guards union called the main obstacle to keeping cell phones away from inmates. The prison guards are the main obstacle from keeping cell phones away from prison inmates. This is the discussion that we're having now in our country. Do you understand? You understand. I know you understand. How do we get normal, functioning, sentient, in some cases, college-educated liberals to understand the same thing? Inmate, cell phone, prison guard, somehow... The cell phones are making their way to the hands of the prison inmates by way of the guards. When did that happen? How did that happen? Lawmakers struggling to keep cell phones away from California's most dangerous inmates. We're going to talk about that coming up with Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center. And our obviously our Patriot line is 877-876-7445 here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We also want to mention our website, philhendryshow.com. We've got our legacy shot glasses in. You got to get over there and you got to get yourself a shot glass. And we also obviously would like to mention our best of CDs too. Or get yourself two shot glasses. Or get yourself, our, what we call our hangover set, which is four. And while we're on the subject of sponsorship and everything, I do want to mention that ProFlowers.com, a wonderful company, and we just gave away a $50 gift certificate last hour to Felicia there in San Antonio. They are a sponsor of ours. And we do appreciate their sponsorship immensely. Thank you very much, ProFlowers. We're going to get Dean Wheeler on the line with us here from, as I mentioned, the Northern California Holistic Center. And well, let's talk about this. California prison guards called guards union is called the main obstacle in keeping these phones away from these inmates. And my way of thinking, I haven't heard anything, Mr. Wheeler, so insane in my life.
Well, all right, Phil, but how do you keep the cell phones away from the inmates when this is an extremely dangerous situation for any human being, not the least of which would be prison guards? There is, at present, no way to get these cell phones away from these inmates.
Now, what do you do with regard to inmates? Do you do some kind of counseling or something?
Yes, we conduct once a week. We have classes in holistic healing and homeopathic cure. We teach many of these incarcerated men and women how to treat themselves for illness, how to maintain their health, how to maintain their strength, how to enhance their physical life as well as their psychological life. We do this once a week. We have, through different California programs to the state of California, we will donate money, or we can get our names attached to some of these programs.
Do you go in there yourself?
Do we go where? Do we go?
Do you go into the prisons yourself?
These are people that are qualified. We tell them that we'd like the inmates to know that we are here if they need us. And through that program, then the inmates are told, well, essentially, Dean Wheeler and his wife Emeralda and others that volunteer with us, they're all here with us in spirit in teaching the inmates how to take care of themselves.
I don't understand that. I don't want to, you know, what does that mean in spirit?
Well, it means in spirit, it means that while the inmates are being taught yoga or they're being taught the finer points of religious tuition or spirituality, that we, the Northern California Holistic Center, we are a part of that by way of our residence in California and our support for prison reform.
All right. I just wanted to know why.
In other words, there's nothing underhanded about it. There's no subterfuge, Mr. Hendry. There's no conspiracy. We are very much supporters of prison reform.
But do you, I want to know if you went into the prison yourself and you did any of this teaching.
No, I don't go into the prison myself because the prisons are, in this case, they're a good ways away. And
well, you live in Mill Valley. San Quentin is close by.
Well, we can have a discussion about visiting prisons if you want, or we can talk about, what would you like to talk about?
All right, I tell you what I'll do. Mr. Wheeler, I apologize. I just wanted to know what your contact with the inmate population was, but I understand that this is of concern to you.
What is of concern to me is that the prison system in not only the state of California, but all over the United States is staffed adequately, and that there is no occasion that either staff or the prisoners or any other individual is at risk or is at is being put at risk or is in a situation that is not helpful.
All right. Lawmakers struggling to keep cell phones away from California's most dangerous inmates say a main obstacle is the politically powerful prison guards union, whose members would have to be paid millions of dollars extra. Excuse me for just a minute. I have an allergy. I'm sorry.
That's quite all right. And I would, if I could, Phil, suggest a chamomile tea for you.
That sounds pretty good. I've got a, hold on for a minute. I got a little hot coffee. Hot coffee's not good enough?
Hot coffee, there's caffeine is a good antihistamine, but I would suggest a chamomile tea.
All right, thank you. All right. I appreciate that free advice, Mr. Wheeler. The powerful Prison Guard Union. Now, you were on a couple of Bay Area radio shows over the last few days saying that the Prison Guards Union cannot be compromised. And I think you said that there's no way to get these phones from these inmates. I just want to be clear, Mr. Wheeler, and I think you probably know where I'm coming from. You know, you're in prison. You don't get to have phones. You don't get to have TV. If it was up to me, all right?
Well, I'm sure if it was up to you, Mr. Henry, we would reopen Alcatraz. And I'm not trying to be a smart ass.
Maybe we would. Maybe we would.
Well, we just don't do things like that anymore. And people such as yourself, with the greatest of respect, you've got to really understand what we're up against. We've got a burgeoning and exploding prison population. We need professional people. We need people that know what they're doing and that they can handle the prison. These are men, Mr. Henry, who are in the prison system, who have gone through living hell. Many of them have been living as prisoners since they were 13 and 14 years old. And
I'm sure that it's been really tough for them, but I don't care. You know, I'm not.
You don't care, but those people get released into society.
I don't really care about the relative comfort level of prisoners. I want them rehabilitated insofar as they can be rehabilitated, but I sure as heck don't want them having cell phones. Let me just make this point: prison employees, roughly half of whom are unionized guards, are the main source of smuggled phones. Do you want to comment?
That is an absolute lie, and let me explain this. First of all, there's no way to get these phones from these inmates. They have them very well hidden. So they're going to have these phones.
Are they not being smuggled in by the guards?
No, they are not. The guards need to have more protections in order for them to get these phones from these inmates. The guards take their lives into their hands when they search for them. Now, these men are union men. They are the best that we've got. Now, we can get the equipment to triangulate these signals, to actually find out where the phones are, but there are constitutional issues of privacy involved, and it's very, very expensive equipment. We can sit down with the prisoners, as I have tried to and others, and talk to them and tell them that we don't want them to have these phones. We'd like them to voluntarily turn them in, and that has not worked. And then we can have our guards go in and get them. But the danger to these men to go get those phones is such that, yes, there is a consideration in terms of pay and compensation. And they don't even want to talk about it, the state of California. And so the guards are left with no choice but to not go get the phones.
You're telling me that prison guards are saying, I can't go in there and get cell phones from these guys until I find out, until I get more money.
There are some safety concerns, yes.
Okay. Meanwhile, you're denying that the prison guards are putting those phones in there, but let me just tell you.
I am absolutely denying that, yes.
But let me just tell you that the guards find, that what I've heard is that the guards find it so lucrative to get phones to prisoners that they'd rather just keep funneling the phones to the prisoners and not go get them.
I think that is an absolute, utter slander against these union men.
And well, maybe what we should do then is get rid of these union men who are not doing their job, who are not getting these phones, who are apparently selling these phones.
You get rid of these union men, you can do that if you want to. California has union guards. Get rid of them. You've just gotten rid of the best that you can find. And you go out and you find yourself some scab guards or guards that are not union members, and you're going out and you might as well be hiring Boy Scouts.
And why do you say that?
Because obviously the union guard is going to be the most qualified and the very best at his job. And these union workers are the best workers. They show up on time, they work their backsides off, and they're the most honest.
And they're the most honest, and yet we have evidence, at least the authorities have evidence.
What evidence do you have, Mr. Henry?
I'm taking the authorities on their word that there is evidence these guards sell these phones. You're telling me that we can't even fire these guys and get guys in there to do the job because what? Because the union guys are the best, huh? I got to tell you, that is holding an entire state hostage with a argument that if we get rid of these union guards, we've just gotten rid of the best. Guys that are smuggling phones in for prisoners, guys that are not doing the job unless they get more money, guys that are basically holding an entire state, the entire penal system hostage. Okay, I find that almost borderline criminal.
Well, that's a very strong word, and I would very, very much watch how I say that. These are guards. You get rid of our union guards.
I get rid of union guards, Mr. Wheeler, and maybe I've got myself some guards that are going to do the job honestly.
That is a slander. Thank you very much.
Well, you can tell me it's a slander, but you haven't told me at all. You haven't even denied it. Okay.
Well, I am telling you right now, get rid of union guards, and you're getting rid of the very best. You get rid of a union guard, it's like getting rid of Major League Baseball players and putting in minor leaguers. It's like getting rid of professional football players and putting in Pop Warner. If you want to do that, then you have made a bad situation go from bad to very, very worse.
All right, let's take a break here. Our number is 877-876-7445. It's the Patriot Hotline tonight to call in and talk to Dean Wheeler and me, Phil Hendry, about the about prisoners with cell phones. We can't go in and get those cell phones away from these prisoners. We can't stop the prisoners from having them because that would take more money. That means that the union guards need more protection. They need a little something more. And if we get rid of the union guards, well, we're just taking our chances with Pop Warner football. This is Radio for Patriots, by Patriots. World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445.
Phil Hendry.
Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445, 877-876-Phil here, and this is Radio for Patriots, by Patriots, our Patriot Hotline wide open here, and we have with us Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center on cell phones in prisons. Now, I know that you've done work with prisoners, but you can't tell me that prisoners need cell phones.
Why not?
Well, why? Why? Why not? They're prisoners.
I understand that, but they have, like any other human being, they have communication needs. And
they may have a lot of needs, but they're prisoners. And this is, again, a basic difference between myself and others and liberals who seem to believe that they can continually press the human rights issue even so far as people that are incarcerated.
Communication, Mr. Henry, is a human right. The United States does not want to run afoul of any UN Human Rights Commission when it comes to these things. And
we're not going to run afoul of a Human Rights Commission if we don't allow prisoners to have cell phones. Now, what's happening in California is they're getting the cell phones. So we already have the attitude that prisoners need to have cell phones. Now they're getting them from prison guards.
Prison guards, I'm going to explain to you, Mr. Henry, because as you call me a liberal, I'm a very proud liberal. But that also means that I've paid probably more attention to the prison issue than a lot of you conservatives. While union officials did...
Well, the only part of
can I allow me to finish, please?
The only part of prison reality that I'm interested in is keeping these guys locked up, not giving them cell phones, and then we can start talking about the rest of it.
May I finish, please?
Go ahead.
Union officials' stated position is that they do not necessarily oppose searches.
Isn't that nice?
What does that mean?
Isn't it nice that they don't necessarily oppose searches?
The union officials, Mr. Henry, are speaking on behalf of their union membership. And their union membership, comprised of union prison guards, safety officers, these are the very best. They're the best in the world. They're the best in the country. I would take a California union prison guard and staff any prison in America with him. That's how good he is. But he's not about to go out and do work, which is walk time, minutes that it takes to get from the front gate to their post behind the prison wall, without compensation. And you need metal detectors with an airport-like regimen involving removal of steel-toed boots and equipment-laden belts. That doubles the walk time. That adds several million dollars to the officers' collective pay. So, and that's according to a 2008 Senate analysis.
And, all right, and so until we get money to these guards, what happens?
Well, you're the one that created the problem. When I say you conservatives created the problem. You have a prison system that's overloaded. And
because what? We've put too many people in prison?
Well, allow me to finish. You conservatives have created the problem. We've got a prison system that is overloaded. We now have prisoners who, obviously, they're inside and they want to speak to a family member and they want to have a cell phone. And so they have a cell phone. This is not a war crime. And
so they have a cell phone that is obtained by a prison guard for them.
The prison guard is making more money selling phones than he's going to make searching the cell. You're a conservative. Don't you believe in free enterprise?
Mr. Wheeler, I believe in the law.
I understand you believe in the law, as I do.
Well, it doesn't sound that way to me. I believe in the law. That means I believe that the law is observed. That means you're a prisoner and you don't get a cell phone. I don't give a damn whether the prison guards are making more money selling phones than they would with the walk time. Okay?
Well, that is where your lack of reality comes into play, because they're not going to search those cells unless they have the adequate pay. And that means collective overtime pay. Otherwise, what are we supposed to do? We tried to talk the prisoners out of having them. And
you're going to sit down and talk to prisoners out of having their cell phones. Is that what you were doing? I will tell you, Mr. Wheeler, with all due respect to you, you talk about me being a conservative, you being a liberal, your philosophy is the following thing. Human rights at all costs, even the rights of people that live outside of prisons, where prisoners have cell phones, where perhaps with those cell phones they begin to develop communications with other people beyond those prison walls. And the next thing you know, we may have a security situation that they haven't bargained on. We have so-called union officers that are making more money selling the phones than they would be making walking these tiers and you know, securing the prison, and you're making an argument for them.
We are in the middle of a recession, and I am telling you it is normal for a man to want to make more money, yes, even if he's selling phones. The way we do it is we pay them more so they'll guard the prison and not want to sell a phone.
I see. But don't fire them, because we'd be firing union prison guards and we'd have Cub Scouts in there. Unreal. World famous Phil Henry Show, back with Dean Wheeler and our Patriot Hotline, 877-876-7445. We'll be back.
Phil Henry.
Wow.
Famous Bill Hendry Show.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. Our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, our Patriot line. And we have with us Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center. Mr. Wheeler, unions are all well and good insofar as they enhance the environment, the work environment of the working man. They protect him from abuses from above. I'm in favor of that. But when a union begins to slow down and impede and otherwise even retard or warp the functioning of an institution, then it's no good. You're talking about these great unions that we've got in California for union guards, and these guys are selling inmates phones.
The union guards in the state of California make more money selling those phones. And when you're feeding a family...
Wait a minute. Whoa, 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 whoa. When you're feeding a family, these guys are union prison guards.
Yes.
All right. They're not supposed to be selling phones to prisoners.
Well, I'm glad that your income, Mr. Henry, as a nationally syndicated talk show host, affords you the luxury of telling other people how to feed their families. I can't do that. Yes, I'm a very proud progressive. And
I'm not trying to tell a guy how to feed his family.
Let me finish. I'm a progressive, and I understand the needs of working people. And these union men are not making enough money. So if they are selling phones, then that's what they're doing. I don't want them to do it any more than you do. Let's get them the money so they'll be motivated to go in and search for the phones that they, yes, initially sold to these men.
You know, that's about as crazy a thing. And I've heard a lot of crazy things in my day. That's about as crazy a thing as I've ever heard. Let's go into the cell and search for the phone that we just sold the guy.
No, the insanity was created by the state of California and by all of the taxpayers in this country, the conservatives and the neocons that decided to go the cheap and cheap out the unions and go with scabs. You get rid of those union guards, you get rid of the best. Just like any other union job.
Well, you know what, man? You can talk all you want about how they're the best. When they're selling the inmates their phones, it doesn't make any sense at all. Our number is 877-876-7445, the Patriot Line, talking to Dean Wheeler about prison guards selling inmates' phones. Here is George in Tampa on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, George.
How do you pose for the money for if an inmate calls me collect, and that money to go back into the prison system, so that way it helps pay, so we don't have to pay higher taxes. We end up paying higher taxes if you allow these prisoners to have phones. And then what are you going to do about the blood bath on your hands? The blood bath of an uprising in the prison, because they can talk to each other. They can talk to each other and push the guards. Now, what are you thinking about, buddy?
I think if you think about that, that's something out of a movie. I don't think that that's something right out of a comic book.
What is?
Oh,
no way, buddy.
I beg your pardon?
No way. That can't happen.
What do you mean?
What about our taxes? Are you going to pay for that?
I think you've watched a little too much. Sir, I think you've watched a little too much Oz on HBO. I think that.
But don't dismiss what the man is saying. If you've got prisoners who have cell phones and they're talking to each other, they can ambush a guard, they can do violence to other prisoners, they're sitting there and they're talking to people on the outside about possibly escaping or selling drugs or running a gang. Do you understand?
Yes, I understand all of that, and I certainly understand that that causes problems. But, and I'll say it again, we have union guards in California who are the best in the business. But they make more money selling the phones.
No. They're selling cell phones. Do you understand?
Yes.
Are you a taxpayer?
Of course I'm a taxpayer, and I'm very happy to pay.
Every time that they call collect, that money goes right back into the prison system to pay for their food and their bread and their sleeping quarters. If they're selling cell phones, now the money goes to Verizon or AT&T, and we have to, our taxes go up, and we got to pay more money in taxes. Now, come on.
Well, I don't know how you pay more money in taxes just because Verizon's doing a better business than cell phones.
No, let me explain. Forget about Verizon. They've got cell phones and they are engaging in all kinds of nefarious subterfuge there inside the prison that ultimately means we got to put on more guards. You were talking about walk time. You're going to have to put on more guards. Now we know that we have to put on more guards to get the phones back that these guys sold them in the first place.
But Mr. Hendry, this problem could have been solved had we paid these prison guards enough money in the first place. Don't you guys understand? Why would I want to...
Do you understand what you're saying? You're saying let's pay them enough money so they don't have to sell phones to prisoners.
Exactly.
And then they're going to go in and... Wait a minute. Now, I heard you say one other thing. I want to send those union guys that you think are so good into that prison cell to get those phones out of there, and you're telling me I got to pay that guy more. Well, what about all the bread he was making selling the phones?
That's right.
That is none of your business.
What if you can't get the phones back? They're gonna stick them some other place. Not going to say it, but you understand what I'm saying. They're going to hide them. Once they get rid of the phones getting taken, are you going to two fingers and get those phones?
Two fingers and what? What are you talking about?
Once you guys start taking the phones back, are you going to two-finger the prisoner to get the phone?
Well, I don't know what he means by two-finger. Is that inspecting them anally?
Oh, God. They're going to hide those phones, okay?
Well, let me say this to the... If you pay taxes, sir, and I'm sure you work very hard, as do most of the people that listen to the Phil Hendry Show, But you're paying pennies on the dollar, and not the same amount of taxes as others. And I think that paying our union guards more is something that we need to do in order that they...
No, we've got to pay our union guards more so that they don't sell phones. George, thanks for your call. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445 on the Patriot Line tonight. Dean Wheeler talking with us about the situation vis-a-vis prisoners with phones. In the state of California, does Charles Manson have a phone?
I'm not going to answer that question, Phil. I think you know the
answer. Yeah, I know the answer. Charles Manson has a phone, doesn't he?
Well, Phil, I'm not Charles Manson's attorney, but I'm going to assume that he's one of the smarter prisoners in the system. And
he's found a way to get himself a phone.
I would think so, yes.
Are you comfortable with Charles Manson on death row, or wherever the hell it is that he is kept? I guess they put these guys back on death row, having a phone?
I am not comfortable, Phil, with the violation. I don't like him having the phone, but I'm even more uncomfortable with the violation of human rights that would be going on if Charles Manson wanted a phone and wanted to call someone, maybe call for some help. Because let's face it, Charles Manson is one of the most hated prisoners in the history of the California prison system. If he's set upon by inmates, if he's being beaten by a guard, Charles Manson needs help. Who's he going to call? How does he get the help?
Oh, so Charles Manson's got to have a phone to get help if he's being set upon and beaten. Charles Manson's probably the most protected prisoner. You say the most hated? He's also the most protected in the prison system.
Well, how do you know that?
You know what? I know it. I'm not about to, Mr. Wheeler, I'm not even going to engage you in an argument about that. You know it as well as I do that Charles Manson is protected. Now, he's been put back into, I believe, some sort of solitary situation. I think he was in general population at one point.
Well, you sound, what do you mean, general population? You sound like you're all, do you have some jail ugly on you?
No, I don't have any jail ugly, and I don't claim to have been in prison. What I'm telling you, as a taxpayer and as a citizen, I'm conversant with some of these things, and Charles Manson is a man who is back inside a higher security part of the prison. But you know as well as I do, this guy's got a phone. A phone!
I don't like Charles Manson having a phone, but I don't like the fact that the prison guard that's got to go in and get that phone is going to be putting his life in jeopardy for the same amount of money as if he was sitting in his office eating a banana sandwich and watching on the TV. Okay? So,
well, then pay them the overtime, you know, but I don't think it's contingent on that. I think you do your job. Oh, my God. Tom in Boston, listening on WTKK. Welcome to the show, Tom. You're on with Phil Henry and Dean Wheeler.
Hi, Mr. Henry.
Hey, yes, sir.
My question to Mr. Wheeler is I'm wondering, is he on managed? Is he a management employee, or is he a union employee himself?
No, I'm not. I own my own business. We have a holistic center, and we do outreach and prison reform.
Well, you say you've never been to a prison.
We fund prison reform.
Go ahead.
Well, I have an issue with the rewarding of the bad behavior. It just seems to go hand in hand with what we try not to do in this country.
Well, what is it that in other words, we're trying to get the phones from them, but they won't give them back, obviously. And
sending guards in there.
Excuse me, Mr. Henry, if I could finish.
Go ahead.
And we have good, high-quality union guards in California, but they're going to need more money if they're going to go in and get those phones.
That they just sold to them.
Excuse me, if I could just say what I want to say. They're going to need more money before they go in and get those phones. So that's the obstacle, Tom, that we're up against right now. And no one wants to get those phones from those prisoners more than I do. But I can't countenance it so long as we're underpaying our guards.
It's all about money. Why is it always about money?
Oh, isn't it all about money with you? It's all about money with
them? Why can't they do their job right?
Do the job, exactly. You get the job done and you get your money, you know.
But they want more money, they get a second job somewhere.
Well, I don't think that I'm talking to two gentlemen that work for free. Do you work for free, Tom? I don't think you do.
Do I work for free?
I know, Mr. Han. I beg your pardon. Do you work for free? You don't.
For free?
And Yes.
No.
And I know
if I don't make enough money, I go get another job to make it up.
These are union men.
I worked two jobs my whole life.
These are union guards. What do you mean two jobs? That would be an embarrassment to the state.
Well, who cares if it's an embarrassment to the state? These guys are union guards, and they are supposed to do the best job. You say they're the best in the business, they're the best guys that we could possibly have, and these cats can't even go in and get some phones away from some prisoners because they're not being paid enough?
You give them enough money, and you'll see those phones.
Oh, really?
You are a cynic. Obviously, you hate unions.
No, I do not hate unions. What I hate is the control that a union has over the basic job that needs to get done. And as Tom said, he goes and gets another job.
Well, you can't ask a union man to get a second job because he looks like a horse's ass. Could you imagine that?
Hey, just to let you know, I'm a master electrician. Got a real good job during the day, and I go do another job at night.
You do what?
I do another job at night. I'll work at somebody's house at night after working 8 hours a day in a building. I'll go work at somebody's house at night, hanging a couple of light fixtures for more money. Does that embarrass you?
Listen to this. Listen.
Aren't you embarrassed that you've got to go and do two jobs?
I'm not embarrassed. I'm bringing home bread on my table.
Right.
Table buying my houses.
Listen to this. Manson.
Oh, what do you mean houses? Are you telling me you've got two houses?
I shouldn't have said houses.
Oh my God!
Hold on
for a minute. Why this gentleman can't own more than one house?
Well, he's a working man.
Oh, he can't own more than one house?
I doubt seriously if the working man in America today makes enough money to buy half a house.
Listen to this. I'm not even going to comment on that. That was the stupidest thing I've heard, sir.
Well, back at you, Mr. Henry.
Okay, well, just listen to this. Charles Manson is in protective housing unit at Corcoran State Prison with access to two cell phones.
I knew you'd have to have the big dramatic moment.
I didn't make this world. I'm just living in it, and that is the world I'm living in. Charles Manson, two cell phones, Tom. You keep working hard, though, and we thank you very much for listening to our show tonight. This is Radio for Patriots, by Patriots. Thank you very much, Tom, a patriot. World-famous Phil Henry Show here, and yes, it is Radio for Patriots, by Patriots. The Phil Henry Show, our number is 877-876-7445. We're going to make sense out of this world. Don't worry about it, because you're with me, Phil Henry. Our Patriot line open, 877-876-7445. Charles Manson, two cell phones. We'll be back.
Phil Henry.
Big deal. It's a big deal out of everything.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, welcome back here, and welcome to Radio for Patriots, by Patriots, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, our Patriot Line 877-876-7445. Would you please repeat, Mr. Wheeler, what you just said to me?
I'd be more than happy. I said that Chuck Manson, and that's what you took exception to?
I certainly did. And where do you call him Chuck Manson from?
He had texted a friend of mine who's in the prison reform program. And
he texted them.
Your melodrama, Mr. Henry, is really rather laughable.
No, I don't think it's melodrama. I don't think it's melodrama at all. You are working in prison reform. A friend of yours is working in prison reform, and you call him Chuck Manson, as if he is your friend.
Not at all. That is his name, though.
Well, I've heard him called Charlie. I've heard him called Charles. By the police call him Charles. The kids that lived with him called him Charlie. I have never heard him called Chuck, which is what you just called him. And I would think you'd watch that. I mean,
Don't tell me to watch it, sir. I have worked in prison reform. I've seen what these inmates go through. And I'm certainly very, very sympathetic to the prison guards who are union guards.
Yeah, but to call a guy who is in protective housing and frankly should have been stuck in the gas chamber years ago, Charles Manson, a mass murderer, Chuck, sounds to me like you are like you're going to invite him over for cards or something. Here is Myla in Topeka, Kansas on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Myla.
Yeah, this argument about them prison guards needing more money. It's ridiculous. Well, no. Teachers are underpaid, and they're not selling drugs to students, to children, in order to get more money. I mean, that's about as stupid as what this is.
Well, I don't know. I would agree with you that teachers are underpaid. But what I would say is, on the scale of necessity, I think we need our prison guards. Otherwise, we're going to have these individuals somehow leaving the grounds of the prison or otherwise breaching security, roaming a town like yours or mine, roaming the town like the movie that you and I saw, what was it called, Day of the Dead, where they just roam and kill. And
no, wait. What did you say, Myla? Myla brought up the teachers. What about the teachers?
I think teachers are very important. Yes, of course we do. We need, and they're very important. But prison guards, unless they're paid, you have inmates staggering through a village. I don't even want to think of what happens.
You know something? You are really something else, Mr. Wheeler. You talk about the fact that...
You are too, Mr. Henry.
No, you talk about the fact that we better pay these guards, otherwise this is going to happen and that's going to... You know, you love to paint an ugly picture. Pray the guards of the phones. The inmates have phones. Pay the guards or they're going to get out and they're going to rape and they're going to pillage. Pay the guards, pay the guards, pay the guards. The best guards in the world, the best guards in America, and these guys can't even do their job well enough to go into a cell and get these phones out of there. They'd rather sell them. And what about the point that Myla made? What about the teachers?
I think the teachers need to be paid better. Just not right now. I'm sorry, Myla, but that is...
This is how crazy your argument is. Like,
are you a teacher?
Our teachers could make more money if they were selling drugs to students. Sure they could.
I would never...
Right?
Okay, are you asking me from a purely financial standpoint? Of course. Do I want them to do that?
No, I don't. My husband is a teacher, and I work, too. And there's some things we just do without. And it's just greed they're selling these phones for. It's greed. They've got enough money to... I mean, they've got to have...
I'm not going to judge your husband.
I understand but...
I would never judge your husband if he sold... I would never judge your husband if he sold drugs. I would never judge him. And
what do you mean you'd never judge her husband if he sold drugs?
She's saying... are you telling me that you don't need the money, or you do?
Are you saying that you would be fine with this woman's husband selling drugs?
No, I did not. I said I wouldn't judge him.
That's crazy.
Now she's laughing at me. Now you're laughing at me. That's crazy. Okay.
I just don't think you have an argument. You just don't have a leg to stand on. There's no
If it kept the inmates of Corcoran State Prison from breaking out and roaming a village by giving Charles Manson two cell phones, would you want him to have those cell phones or not?
Asinine question.
Why?
That's not up to Charles Manson. You secure the prison, you keep them from busting out, and you take his phones away, and you don't let anybody say, if this or if that, then this. It's not the way it happens. Thank you very much, Myla, for your call, and thank all of you guys for contributing tonight. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, we thank you, Mr. Wheeler, for being with us, but that's about as stupid a thing as I've ever heard in my life, and it's a typically liberal thing to say, well, you know, if you don't do this and if you don't do that, if you hold your breath and you cross yourself and you pray really, really hard, then maybe they'll be cool. But doing the other thing, well, that's just an invitation to disaster. We'll be back with our news hour next. Phil Henry Show.
Don't quit making a big deal out of it.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
The school does not teach Christianity.
The cost to business from outdated and inadequate infrastructure.
We need to make America the best place on earth to do business.
Justice for Anita Hill. What do we do?
Cut off his toes one by one.
She indicates that she had been rear-ended.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. This is radio for patriots, by patriots, and the Patriot line, of course, always open, 877-876-7445. And don't forget, our website is philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. Watch us perform this show. You ain't seen nothing, man, until you've watched our backstage pass video cast. You go over to philhenryshow.com and you watch the Phil Hendry Show in all of its glory there. at philhenryshow.com. You get a backstage pass, watch the video cast. We have access to thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of archive material, the greatest radio show in the history of the world, and a radio show that believes that patriotism, even above being an American, is the most important thing, because anybody can call himself an American. These days, you can call yourself an American having been born here if your parents snuck over the border. Being a patriot is someone who commits. And as the old saying goes, bud, when it comes to breakfast, the chicken contributes, the pig commits.
Yeah.
So that's what we're about here on our show. Coming up this hour, we're going to talk a little bit about that, what it is to commit and not just to contribute. We're going to talk here about an Arabic program at a Texas school that was mandatory. The district finally backed down and the parents said, no, wait just a minute.
What were they worried about?
They were worried about the fact that this Arabic program had been mandatory. Now, this is not a language program. This was simply a program on Arabic culture, but the parents had not been talked to. And here's the reason why you need to talk to the parents. This is a program that in and of itself is not what we call the three R's, reading, writing, arithmetic, right?
Yeah, I always wonder why they call them the three R's.
Reading, writing, arithmetic, that's why.
Yeah, but that's not spelling it good.
No, it's not spelling it good, but the fact of the matter is, it's a slang. These are not, this is not an essential course. Somebody made the decision we got to have this because there is a relevance in terms of there's a relevance in terms of everyday life to the Arabic culture, and so our kids need to learn it. So we'll talk about that, and we've got quite a few other things. Michael Moore wants more money from the Weinstein brothers, and this is the world famous Phil Henry Show, radio for patriots by patriots. Here, furor over mandatory Arabic program at Texas school district backs down. All right, now here is the story. A Texas school district put the brakes on an Arabic language program, and it is not just an Arabic language program, and this is where it is a this is not just a miscommunication. This is an out and out a mistake made by the reporters. Understand something we've always told you. Understand something that we've always told you. The news is not reported anymore. It is presented so as to create in you an opinion or an impression right out of the gate. As much as I disagree with Arabic being a mandatory program, I have to tell you they were not including language. An Arabic language program Tuesday after an angry backlash from parents made national headlines. The Mansfield School District issued a statement on the mandatory Arabic classes after many parents in the district complained they were never told about this new program. Recent concerns have been raised by parents concerning plans for the curriculum. Therefore, Mansfield ISD is slowing the implementation process and will be seeking input from parents in a variety of ways. Now, what is this? This is the panic that ensued after 9/11 that is now almost an inexorable force that has invaded every facet of our society, that is informs every decision, it seems, made by so-called progressives and liberals. There is nothing progressive about being afraid. There's nothing progressive about having your decisions informed by fear. And that's what informs this decision of Arabic classes. Fear.
What do you mean by fear?
I'll tell you. The fear that there is, and I'm telling you this straight up, that there would be a violent reaction by Arabic or Muslim people against Western society if we don't get with it and get on a stick and start teaching these things that we need to teach about Middle Eastern culture, society, religion at all. That there might be one of these fist-pumping mob scenes, that we could have a Muhammad cartoon situation. I mean, that was the momentum of having the Muhammad cartoons pulled out of every major Western news organization, every newspaper, every news broadcast. It wasn't concern over the feelings of Muslim people. It had nothing to do with it. If you are Muslim listening to me right now, I'd like you to know, I'd like you to hear probably for the very first time in your life the truth. No one pulled those Muhammad cartoons from the newspapers and from the broadcasts in American society or elsewhere because they were concerned with your feelings. It had nothing to do with it.
Because they're afraid.
They were afraid. Thank you, bud. They did it because they were afraid of violence. They did it because they were afraid of all you violent Middle Eastern people. Talk about gutless and talk about hypocritical. I cannot abide, and that's not progressive. That's you can call it whatever, you can call it liberal. I don't know how you guys hijacked. I don't know, these liberals hijacked that term progressive. Where do they grow the pair big enough to suddenly call themselves progressive when everything they do is because of a fearful reaction to something, because they're scared to death that something's going to happen. They're scared to death that someone's going to blow them up. Scared to death that someone's going to recreate 9/11 all over again, do something else. They're scared to death that that we have offended, that we have insulted, that we have hurted, that we have hurted.
Good word.
Thank you. Hurted.
Well, you said it, man. I'm glad you said it, not me.
All right, I said it. That's what's going on. And again, if you are a Muslim, I tell you this, and this is going to be the most honest thing you ever heard in your life. Maybe you already figured it out. Nobody cares about your feelings. People care because they're afraid you're going to put a shoebox in their car. In interviews with KHOU-TV and CBS Dallas, parents expressed their anger at this mandatory Arabic language or Arabic culture class in Mansfield ISD.
The school does not teach Christianity, so I don't want them teaching the Islam.
She had learned Spanish when she was in elementary school, and now they want her to learn Arabic.
It's them applying for the grant and getting it approved. And now saying they're going to be able to go back and change it only after they were caught trying to implement this plan without any of the parents knowing about it.
So what we have here is this rush to implement Arabic studies in this school. And we've seen this across the country in other ways. We've seen this in other venues. We've seen it in the workplace. We've seen this in the public life of our people. That we need to get more Arabic study or Muslim understanding. And I ask myself, now, why is that? Is that because a couple of buildings fell down on September the 11th? By God, that's why!
You think, because they blew it up?
You tell me another reason. Give me another reason why all of a sudden we care about Arabic studies and Muslim studies.
Well, there's a lot of Muslim people here.
There's a lot of Muslim people in America. And I don't know about you, and you can certainly tell me if I'm lying. But before 9/11, with Muslim Americans in this country, with Arab Americans in this country, I don't think anybody was keeping them from going to the mosque. I don't think anybody was keeping them from practicing their religion. If they were, then there damn sure should have been some sort of an alarm raised. I'd stand up for their right to practice their religion. I don't give a damn what decade, what year. I don't need two buildings to fall down and 3,000 people to get butchered alive for me to care about freedom of religion. I damn sure am not going to be such a hypocrite that after 3,000 people are incinerated before our eyes, all of a sudden I have the love and the milk of human kindness in me for Arabs and Muslims.
Yeah, but I mean, see, that's the thing. You know, if you don't, They're all pissed off, you know.
They're pissed off, are they?
Yeah.
Well, guess who else is pissed off?
You?
Yeah, you got it, brother. I'm pissed off. Somebody's got to start, you know, here's the thing. Someone's got to start remembering that we can get pissed off, too. Americans get real pissed off. Now, Americans are a loyal bunch. We stick with our friends, and yes, we do fight for freedom. It's corny. And I understand that guys like Michael Moore, for instance, there's a beautiful story today. You're going to love this. Moore, who has made a career out of sitting his big, fat, hot dog-fed ass there in Flint and extolling and releasing he's releasing gas and very fetid gas, but he's also releasing these platitudes, you know.
You're talking about him farting.
Shut up. All of these platitudes having to do with the working man, while today he's fighting over a few bucks, I say a few bucks, I mean a few million bucks, with the Weinstein brothers from his movie Fahrenheit 9/11, a movie that was concocted propaganda, but he wants to make sure he gets his piece. I guess he's going to give that over to the unemployed auto workers in Flint. I mean, dude, you know, all of that hot air that you have released more than any blimp in history. All of that stuff, at the end of the day, I know what you're all about. You know what you're all about. We all know what you're all about, and that is, let's go into court and make sure the wine, squeeze those Weinsteins. Don't let those guys, well, I was going to use a word.
You were going to say Jew.
No, I was. Get out of here. I wasn't going to say Jew. I guess I just did. Don't let them get away with it there, Moore. This is a country where the progressive, where the liberal has the luxury of sitting back in his easy chair or his Starbucks stool or, oh, I don't know, you know, wherever it is that he chooses to sit his ass. And he has the luxury of talking about the evils of a society that, quite frankly, is the single most advanced in the history of the world, and he would never in a million years be able to argue against that. And yet he's trying best as he can to tell us how warped and corrupt and how really the cause of so much pain this country is, the most advanced in the history of the world. And then he turns around and he tells us the proper reaction to the butchery that we witnessed on September the 11th is not the understandable anger that most of us felt. No, the proper reaction is to sit back and let's get some more Arabic language classes in our schools. Let's show them that we're trying our very best. Let's show them that we don't want them to do it again. Please don't do it again. I'm telling you, it's enough to make you want to throw up through your nose.
Or put up, laugh and let the milk shoot out of your nose.
Laugh and let the milk shoot out of your nose.
You don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, I do.
All right, never mind. We're going to come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Radio by Patriots, for Patriots. 25 arrested, thousands converge on the Koch brother billionaire caucus in the California desert. Wait till you hear some of the things that were said about Clarence Thomas by our progressive friends. Things like, go on back to the fields. Liberals. Perfect. Unless these guys were plants. We'll be back. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Patriots by Patriots, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, where truth is our bitch. Michael Moore sues Weinstein Brothers for $2.7 million, maybe more, for Fahrenheit 9/11 film profits. Now, we wouldn't even be bringing this up, Mr. Moore, were it not for the fact that you know and I know, if there was someone who you had differences with, politically or otherwise, and they were doing something that seemed to go against the grain of what they were all about, you'd bring it up. Now, I don't believe in I don't believe that there's moral relativity in this world. I believe in absolutes. I believe in moral absolutes. And I believe in moral absolutes based upon this, because they've proven themselves to be the very best. For instance, is American society equal to every other society? No, it's better. Oh, are you saying that as a chauvinist? No, I'm saying that as a person with a brain, with eyes, with ears, with an ability to draw conclusions based upon what I see. No, it's not chauvinism at all. It's better. Michael Moore may think that his life and his life's work is better than somebody else's, and he's certainly entitled to that. But the fact is, I don't. So when he says he wants to sue for $2.7 million, I say, well, you're just a fat-ass capitalist, man. Now, this guy was tweeting his big-ass off, excuse my language.
All during the Super Bowl and everything.
Yes, all during the Super Bowl, he's tweeting about the things that have happened to the working man in Michigan, about the things that have happened to the city of Flint, about how all of the contributions that Detroit has made, Martha and the Vandellas and the Detroit Lions, a lot of stuff that Moore, this is what Moore does. He just sort of stitches stuff together and he hopes it comes out. Well, I don't think he hopes it comes out making sense. I think he just figures a lot of the people that think he's the greatest thing since sliced bread will figure it makes sense, even though it doesn't. He was tweeting stuff the Joe Louis fist, that's us. This guy believes he's some kind of IWW throwback to the days of the Wobblies and he should have been in the movie Reds or something. Moore sees himself as a working class hero of some kind. I see him as the best friend Oscar Mayer ever had. All right, take it easy.
That's the funniest thing. That's the funniest thing I ever heard, too.
All right, take it easy.
You're the best friend Oscar Mayer.
Michael Moore is the best friend that Oscar Mayer and Sara Lee ever had.
Yeah, you can't keep making fat jokes, though.
I'll make fat jokes as long as the guy's fat. I'll make fat jokes as long as I'm fat and he's fat. How about that, man? Let me tell you something. Just like everything else in this world, black people, Jewish people, fat guys, we can make fun of each other. Oscar season's in the air. What better way to commemorate all that moving movie money than with a little lawsuit with the Weinsteins? According to the Hollywood Reporter, Moore claims the Weinsteins and an affiliated entity called the Fellowship Adventure Group had a prior agreement to split the film's 50-50 profits. But after conducting an audit on the film in 2008, the director discovered substantial irregularities. He figures he is owed around $27 million. Wait, $27 million? Or he made $27 million. Now, according to the Weinsteins, Michael Moore, and I believe I'm quoting almost verbatim, Michael Moore made $20 million from this movie. He has... he's made enough. Something like that. He's made all that he needs to make. This is the first time, according to a quote here, I think either from Moore himself or from the Hollywood Reporter, this is the first time Moore has ever sued anyone in his 20-year career as a filmmaker. That should be some indication about how serious this is. No, that's just some indication to me is how stupid he has been and how much smarter he's getting or more crooked. Moore and the Weinsteins really struck up a business relationship as partners for Fahrenheit 9/11. I love a guy going after money, and he's entitled to it, I guess. But I love a guy going after money with all of that capitalist relish, money that he made on a film that is an absolute fabrication, a fairy tale, a propagandist's delight. He raked in, the movie made $222.4 million worldwide. Well, look, Michael Moore is not very bright. And when I say not very bright, what I mean is this. He's not a sophisticated thinker. He's a businessman, and he knows how to put together these little movies and get financing for these things. But when it comes to social issues, I think we are all in agreement, probably even the liberals and progressives among us, all in agreement that Michael Moore's an embarrassment if he ever tries to weigh in on anything. Every time that guy opens his mouth about anything, he is as stupid sounding as any human being I've ever heard. He can't talk about labor relations without sounding like a moron. He can't talk about industry. He can't talk about anything political. He has made statements that are the most chauvinistic I've ever heard in my life, the most insulting I've ever heard in my life. He said right after 9/11, why don't we give the job of finding bin Laden to the Israelis, thinking that I guess he wasn't thinking how that would redound on Israel as they're running around looking for the new star on the Islamist bloc. He said if there'd been any brothers on board those airplanes, man, they wouldn't have hijacked anything. Basically saying, all you black people, you kick ass. That's one thing we know you know how to do. But he loves that music you make, too. I mean, he is a big, fat, walking contradiction. And, and in recent years, we've heard him sound off. But when I had to read his tweets during the Super Bowl, because I was tweeting, that did it for me, man. I'll tell you. Anyway, what am I talking about?
I don't know, man. I lost interest.
Me too. Okay, well, good luck there, fat boy. All right, we'll be back here on the...
Who cares?
We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445 for all you patriots out there still to come. Keith Olbermann makes the move to Current TV. Can he get any more irrelevant? And we'll restate for you why it was that Keith Olbermann lost his gig in the first place over there at MSNBC, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. world-famous Bill Hendry Show.
Welcome back here. Radio for Patriots by Patriots, and we're looking here just very, I was going to look up the IWW, which is the International Workers of the World, which was the big, you know, worldwide union early in the 20th century, that kicked off, at least from the standpoint of labor, a new century of labor clashing with management, ownership, etc., for higher wages, better working conditions, and so forth. And we do know that there were incidences having to do with work safety that were internationally known, that made international headlines. One of them was the Triangle Shirtwaist Fire in New York, where there were women by the hundreds killed in a fire where there were no emergency exits. So we did see the beginning of the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. And so there were issues. Let's just put it that way. There were issues. All right. Now, having said all of that, Fat Ass was tweeting on Sunday more about how it was Detroit that created the middle class. It was Detroit that fought for decent wages, health care, safer work conditions. It was the unions of Detroit and the strikes that made that happen. So the Teamsters didn't do it, did they? So the IWW had nothing to do with it. It was you, Fat Boy, and all of your friends in Detroit. I got nothing against auto workers. As far as it goes, I got nothing against anybody as far as it goes. What I don't like is some revisionist, an ignoramus revisionist, who's basically a movie maker, and he's okay, he's making money for his bosses, so you can't fault the guy. I don't watch that kind of propaganda, because after a while, I have a tendency to throw up. But when this cat starts tweeting history, brother, that's when I got to check out of the jam session. Okay, it's one thing to, okay, great, whatever, you're suing to get more money. Now the guy's tweeting me history? No can do, man. I got to believe anything you're saying. First of all, because I know what you're saying, 99% of it is horse dung, man, because I know better. He went on to say that Eminem's Chrysler ad, which I thought was out of sight. I love that ad. Didn't you?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
You know, give a little bit of pride to the city. What the hell? You know, a little bit of American workmanship. Nothing wrong with that. Oh, he says, well, putting aside the idiot execs who ran the big three into the ground and putting aside how cars melt the polar ice caps, putting it all aside, what, did you like the ad or didn't you? And then, of course, he's got to take the shot at President Bush and Condi Rice. I can't believe, and I'm going to tell you something. Here is something that's the most dishonest in the history of the world. I mean, this is just hypocrisy at its all-time limits. The way that Condoleezza Rice has been talked about, these people would have to get on a stepladder to kiss her ass. I mean, the people that run that woman down, starting with Huffington, who just sold her Bush League company to AOL, and that figures because, to be perfectly honest with you, AOL, you pioneered access to the internet, and your platform was this and that, but your news service is the worst I've ever seen. And whenever I see AOL part of the byline, I realize that, you know, I may want to wipe with it, I may want to wipe my armpits with it, I may want to use it to line a box that we're sending our shot glasses out in, but I sure as hell ain't going to read it. Nonetheless, Condoleezza Rice is one of the great success stories in the history of this country, and the way that woman's been spoken of, and that code pink, I mean, well, those women know. If they late at night, when they're honest with themselves, every woman in code pink realizes what an utter laughingstock each and every one of them turned out to be. All right, let's get, speaking of laughingstocks.
Yeah, I was going to say Keith Olbermann. He's on Current TV.
Yeah, which is the laughingstock, Current TV or Keith Olbermann?
Yeah, when you were sending a video over there?
I started doing some videos for Current TV, yeah. But I found when I was thinking, you know, I would get some videos up at Current TV, even though I realized I was in the halls of what is really a cult, man. I mean, I'm being very serious now. It's a cult, you know.
What do you mean?
I mean, Current TV, dig this. Because, like, for a while there, I don't know, about eight months, I was making these goofy little videos, okay, because I had this editing program. And I was dropping them down on a channel that I had at Current TV, because anybody can have a channel. And if it gets good enough, then you get graduated up to almost cool. And then if it's really good, then you get graduated to fully cool. And then if it's really good, then you get graduated up to, you know, Al approves. And then...
You kidding?
No, but that's how it felt. I swear to God. So there were all of these videos that people would check in with about all of these topics. And I threw mine up there every now and again. I haven't been back, man. I know my channel's over there somewhere, you know.
Well, do you want me to go find it or what?
I don't care. I don't care, but I know I'm over there somewhere. Anyway, so, you know, I threw my stuff up there, and everybody have opinions. But the minute that Gore checked in, woo! Oh.
Well, everybody starts licking his butt, I'll bet.
Oh, my God, let's just stop down. Because here comes Al, man. He going to check in on something, and I don't know what it was. It could be anything. It could be just, you know, how he just farted, and it was moderately like sulfur, and that doesn't make sense because he ate broccoli, you know.
You're kidding, right?
Yes, I'm kidding. Yeah, that's right. Al Gore was on Current TV talking about farts.
Well, I don't know, man. I mean, half the stuff you say.
No, man. I'm just telling you. He could have talked about anything, though. And as soon as he was on there, you know, 8 million views, and oh. And I got, and so I got into it one time. I wasn't really even getting into it. I was yanking this guy really bad. I was on this comment feed, this thread, and I was just jacking this guy. I forgot what I was saying, but I was pretending I was somebody else, right?
Yeah.
And this dude couldn't make any sense out of me. So he was really vicious, really, really hateful. Which is fine, because, you know, you can go on a conservative thread and probably find somebody similar to that. But it was very amusing to me. But what I was getting was that the minute you expressed any opinion over there at Current TV on their site, anything that is contrary to how Al sees it, forget it. You'll get jumped. It's like you're getting mugged by, it's like just a bunch of hyena, man, are jumping on your ass, you know?
Well, I mean, like, in other words, even a conservative opinion, just if he disagreed.
Yeah, if he disagreed. It wouldn't matter. It would be, if it was just something that ran afoul of Al. I'm telling you. Now, I realize that people are going to say, oh, what, are you weird or something? Obviously, they can't check with Al and find out what he thinks about everything. No, they can't. But everyone seemed to instinctively know, and it's the progressive talking points. There's no question, the liberal talking points, no question about it. So it's sort of instinctive to any and all that go over to that jackass site. And you know, I'll tell you something. That site's not bad, man. I mean, they could really do some cool things. But the problem is, it is ideologically locked down. You can't do anything over there unless it's like real cool, groovy, liberal crud, you know?
What's some of the stuff that we would do?
I don't know, man. I mean, they did some stuff like... they had some video contest, and the winner would get tickets to go to the Highland Games in Scotland, which I thought was kind of cool. And
what's that?
It's a bunch of stuff in Scotland where these Scottish guys, you know those big Scottish dudes, right, with the kilts?
Yeah.
Man, they do stuff like they take giant logs and throw them. And what are you looking at?
What do you mean log?
Logs, man, like a tree. What a juvenile.
What do you think you're talking about?
I don't know. A giant tree, and they throw boulders. I don't know, they do a bunch of stuff. It's a bunch of Scottish crap. What do I know about it?
Well, you said you're part Scottish.
That don't mean that I know everything about Scotland, man. I mean, my people come from there. What the hell do I know about it? I'm an American. Thank you very much. I'm a patriot. Anyway, that seemed like it would be a fun thing. But the fact is, Current TV is this locked, it's this ideologic, how do I put this? It's a false promise of creative freedom. When you get in there, well, you're expected to do things that, you know, are green. You just think of every word that makes you want to just pitch your guts up. Green. And, you know, I'm helping the planet. Oh, my God, you know.
Yeah, but my nephew's all about, I'm going to help the planet. These are different ways I can help the planet.
Oh, get out of here, but help the planet. You know what, man? You know why it's helped the planet? I'll tell you why it's helped the planet. It's helped the planet because those cats can't bring themselves to say what they really want to say, which is, I don't want to buy any more Middle Eastern oil because that sucks, because all those guys over there want to cut our heads off. But then I really don't want to drill for any oil over here, because then that would mean that I believe in oil, and I don't want to make that seem like it's really about oil. It's just about, yeah, bull crap. It's all about this. This is what it's about. Let's get on to alternative energy. Oh, and that's the other thing. They don't want to say it's about alternative energy. They want to say it's about saving the planet. Bull crap.
Yeah, man, not about saving the planet. They don't want to have to rely on the Arab and everything like that.
Exactly, man. Why don't you just be honest enough and say it's about we have dwindling energy resources and we have to find other ways to power things, and that's fine. I'm down with that. I sure as hell don't want to be buying no more Arab oil. I'd rather be drilling for it. I've talked about the oil rigs that we've got off the coast of California. Some progressive, some liberal ass sent me this email, and he was pissed off that I was mentioning how the marine mammal life flourishes in the channel out here.
Yeah.
What do you say?
Oh, this guy was, I was saying, you know, I'm sorry to have to tell you this, but we've got oil rigs up and down the coast of California here in the channel. And on top of that, we got whales, we got sea lions, we got dolphins, we got more marine mammal life out there, probably anywhere in the world, man. And we've got oil rigs. And this jackass, so pissed off because he's some jive progressive, some jive-ass liberal who cannot stand the fact that what I'm saying cannot be refuted. Would you rather them die? I bet you'd feel better, you know?
Yeah, they would, man. I'd rather see all them seals die to prove a point.
Yeah. Half those cats that are up there killing those seals and those sea lions with those high-powered rifles are probably a bunch of freaking liberals, man, so they can say, look at all the conservatives up there. They're killing all those animals. I mean, the dishonesty, man. It is brutal. So wading into that is who? Keith Obermeinfuhrer. Former MSNBC talk show host Keith Obermann, jawohl, announced via Twitter today that he's becoming the chief news officer. The chief news officer. Dude, that is...
Kind of marshal, you know?
Yeah, that's a big word for you, bud, isn't it?
Yeah. I know what it means.
No, I'm glad you do. It's a good word. But anyway, he's becoming the chief news officer of that marvelous, marvelous entity that I was just talking about, which, of course, is Current TV.
Yeah, I said.
All right. Obermann will host what Current calls a major new nightly primetime news and commentary show. Basically what that means, he'll get the same five people watching it that were watching that time slot before. Now, he'll get more people. There's no question he'll get more people, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, the people that like him will go and watch it, but, I mean, that's not going... It's like saying, I want to go see Robert Schuller in a real funky-looking church, you know? Like, he ain't going to be in a Crystal Cathedral. He's going to be in some rundown little church down on, on Avalon Boulevard, but at least in Robert Schuller.
What did you just say?
No, I understand what you said.
You don't understand?
Yeah, I understand that you're used to seeing Robert Schuller in a big cathedral. And now you're going to go watch him at some broken-down, busted storefront church, right?
Yeah.
Well, Obermann will host this current, what Current calls this major nightly primetime show. It sounds like something that Gore thought up. You know, it's got one of those big, long-winded, horse-dung titles. The network hailed the former sportscaster for his slashing wit, analytical eye, and distinctive commentary. You know what? Obermann is a funny guy. It's true. He's a funny guy. The only problem with him is his inflexible view of life, where everyone that disagrees with him or everyone who has an alternative worldview away from his is somehow suspect, criminal, to be maligned, to be slandered, to be... It's just, once again, very dishonest. But you have to understand, folks, when you are dealing with the medium, whether it's radio or television, you're dealing with essentially... Especially with these liberals, man, a dishonest vein running through them. They are angry at themselves that they don't have a bigger pair than they've got. They're pissed off at themselves that they don't really have any answers for anything. They just don't want... They're almost like what Canada is, man. Canada doesn't know what it is. They just know they're not American.
Yeah, I was going to say, man, I'm doing up in Canada. Well, what are you? Well, at least we're not you.
That's a hell of a way to go through life. You can't define yourself. You just know what you aren't. The one-hour show is set to start in late spring as Chief News Officer Obermann will provide editorial guidance for Current's primetime lineup. Primetime lineup? What the hell? They don't have any shows.
Yeah, they do. They got, like, Green Nation or something?
Green Nation? Oh, will you get serious? The worst thing, who was that guy that went green? Ludacris? Man, dude, when you went on that green kick, forget it. All right, we'll be back with more here, and we got a little bit more. We got one more segment left here. We got one more segment left here in this show tonight, radio for Patriots by Patriots, the world famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Now, don't forget to head over to our website, pick up a backstage pass. You can watch how we perform our show every night at philhendryshow.com. And don't forget to visit our shop and pick up some of our legacy best of CDs. Get our legacy shot glass, the 2.5 ounce shot glass. This baby is balanced. It's ready for action. There it is on our video cast. I'm showing it to our video viewers right now. On the 21st begins the arrival of our new video and, TV studio, basically. And it's going to be a beautiful thing. So we got a lot of things happening. And as we get closer to the summer,
I'm drinking all that Coke.
Well, I'm drinking Pepsi. I'm drinking a Pepsi throwback. We will roll out another piece of merchandise. All right. Here is one of the saddest stories. And, I don't want to bum you out, but look, we are all witness to this thing that's happening, and it's called the destruction of a human being by her own parents. This is what's going on with this Lindsay Lohan woman. I have to tell you, this is what I think is happening. Lindsay Lohan is an actress who has some talent and is certainly talented enough to be valued by the industry, and people worry about her, and they want her to get better, and they want her to get her life on. And meanwhile, she's got two parents here, this Dina and this, I guess this other guy is what, Michael Lohan? These two imbeciles are as insane as any two parents I've ever seen in my life. And before our very eyes, they're driving this kid crazier and crazier and crazier until one day she'll lose. I don't know. I don't know what'll happen. And we can't do anything about it. It's a very interesting phenomenon. I'm not saying we should. I'm just saying we stand and we witness a woman who is an adult woman, and she can certainly leave these parents behind, but as was pointed out to me just a moment ago, every kid wants to have at least one relationship with a parent. I mean, you don't want to think your parents are just the most evil, despicable, disgusting turds that ever floated up from the bottom of the pool.
Oh, man.
Sorry. Well.
Oh, man, that was bad.
Well. In any event, Lindsay Lohan's legal troubles just went from bad to worse. The actress will be charged Wednesday with one felony count of grand theft for allegedly stealing $2,500 worth of necklace from a Venice, California jewelry store on the 22nd of January. She's required to show up in person for an arraignment. She's a thief. Oh, God. The actress's attorney, Sean Chapman Hawley, has denied Lohan committed any crime, plans to defend her in court. All right. She's currently on probation and under random drug testing in her ongoing DUI case. The ladies of The View offer up excuses for why Lohan is in the latest bit of legal trouble.
But when I was a kid, I would take, a thing of gum or something, yeah. And I could afford part of it when you're young is, can I do it?
So you're a thief.
I was a thief.
Walters.
But,
you're a lousy thief.
Do you think that part of it has nothing to do with the money?
It's a celebrity thing in a certain way, because these celebrities go into these rooms where they give you so much stuff all the time. Mm-hmm. The designers give them the dress. They think they just take it, I think.
I mean, I think it's about the danger, and then all your friends are doing it. It's like, you know.
Oh, will you get out of here? She stole a $2,500 necklace, and she's a 26-year-old woman. Are you imbeciles? Yeah, when you're five. Did you hear this stuff?
Whoa!
God! Meanwhile, this idiot, the mother, Dina Lohan, slams the hurtful Glee writers. These two people, this Dina and this Michael, if you two people would learn to shut up, just shut up. Lindsay Lohan's mom, Dina, let's listen to her yap. She comes out again against Glee for mocking her and her family in the Super Bowl episode of Glee. Dina gets slammed by guest star Katie Couric.
I know it's painful, but can you take me back to the moment when you knew you had lost what would have been a record 7th consecutive national championship, landing you this interview as loser of the year?
I thought this was the 10 most fascinating.
That's Barbara Walters. In the voting, you beat out the following losers.
What is this? What the hell is this? What is this? Is this part of the show?
Yeah.
I thought I was going to hear Dina Lohan. I'm hearing an episode of Glee. Because our producer, Jason Rance, is just such a Glee fan, it's embarrassing. All right, Jace, thanks. By the way, anyway, our show produced by Jason Rance. Technical director is Rick Johnson. And, of course, our associate producer is Dan Northcraft. And until then...
And he pulled his pants down?
Don't forget to visit our website, philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. It's radio for Patriots. Bye, Patriots.
Phil Henry.
Bye, Patriots.